This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, which is a popular verse of scripture that we are going to look at this morning. Malachi chapter 3 and the verse 6. Malachi 3, 6, and this is what the scripture says. It says, I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob, he says, are not already destroyed. I am the Lord and I do not change, and that's why the descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. And Lord, we just ask that you bless this portion to us in the next few minutes that we have, that it will indeed strengthen our faith in you, that we do indeed serve a God who does not change. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those of us who obviously, we saw the family that we prayed for, and you're looking at them and you're thinking, wow, this is a massive move for them. But I believe, of course, it's a good move for them. What I see there standing in front of us as the family came up is change. And it's one thing that sometimes we don't like. You know, we don't like change sometimes, especially anything that unsettles us or puts us in a place where we have to do the things maybe differently. But it's a reminder for us that life is full of changes. Changes in the family, changes in the community, changes in the church, even changes in our everyday life and the way that we live our life. So change is normal when it comes to human affairs. Actually, we get a bit suspicious when things stay the same for too long. And I think that should be our attitude. When things stay the same for too long as humans, we get a little bit suspicious. But the reality is that when you come to God, and also in the scriptures, the opposite is the case with God. That with God, the Bible tells us that He is a God who never changes. We will change. We are going to go through changes at different points of our life. But the good news is that we serve a God who does not change. And it's because of God's unchanging nature that is the foundation of our faith. Because we know that we serve a God who does not change. We know we serve a God, though things will change around us, though we will change, things will happen. But this God, who has given us promises in scripture, have said to us that He stays the same and He does not change. There was a story told of the great London preacher, for those who may have heard of him, Charles Spurgeon. And one day, Charles Spurgeon was driving through the countryside. And then he noticed a wind vane, you know, a wind vane that tells you what direction the wind is blowing. He saw this wind vane on top of a farmhouse. And then he looked at the wind vane and he was curious because he saw something written on the wind vane. And so he wanted to investigate. So he got closer. And what he saw written on the wind vane says that God is love. And so Spurgeon became quite curious. He was wondering why that inscription on the wind vane that God is love. So what he did was, he went to the house of the owner of the wind vane and he knocked on the door and he said to him, excuse me, I want to ask you a question. I've just seen a sign up there that says God is love. Are you trying to tell me that does God is love mean that God's love changes as the weather changes? Is that what you're trying to say? And the man looked at him and said, no, Charles, what I'm simply trying to say is that no matter what direction the wind blows, God's love never changes. And that's why I'm saying God is love. And he said he never forgot those words that the man said to him. No matter the direction things may move, no matter what changes take place in our lives, we have a God who is love, and His love never changes for us. And that's why the Bible tells us that God is described as a rock. One of the descriptions you have about God, actually in the scripture, if you go to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22, and this is in verse 44, and this is what he says. He says, the Lord lives, in 2 Samuel 22, 47. He said, blessed be my rock. You can see he calls God my rock. Let God be exalted, he says, the rock of my salvation. So you can see that in that scripture in 2 Samuel 22:47, God is clearly referred to as a rock. And what that tells us in our relationship with him is that he speaks of his stability. He speaks of his unchanging nature. Like I've said, humans change in many ways. Either we change in the promises that we've made or things we said we are going to do and we end up not doing them. Or someone comes in and influences us and we change. Maybe we don't do what we said we are going to do. Or maybe we get better or worse still, we can get worse. And these are the changes that happen to humans. We change our promises, things happen from the outside, and not just that, things can get better, or for some, it can actually get worse. But like I said, the Bible says that God is a rock. That means that nothing affects him from the outside. He never changes his nature, and he remains still the same. And that's why the song we sang this morning that tells us that his promises stand sure. Great is his faithfulness. And because I'm still in his hands, he will perform what he said that he will do for me as a person. And I'm sure most of us here this morning, we know that we live in a time and a season where change is occurring more rapidly than at any time in human history. People are trying to grasp on anything just to find stability. You know, things, if you look around the communities, if you look around the nation, there's so much uncertainty. You know, change is happening at a fast pace. And people, all of a sudden, feeling unsure about the future. What does the future hold for me? How will God fulfill his promises in the midst of all the changes that is going on? But when you think about that, God is not asking us to grasp onto anything for assurance. All he's calling us to do is to go back to the scripture, to remember that we are serving a God who is not like any other God. He is a God whom we've seen from scripture, who is not just holy. He's a God who is faithful, but he's also a God who does not change. And once we have an understanding that God does not change, then it helps us as we come to relate to him. There is a scripture in the book of Psalm 102. In Psalm 102 from verses 24 to verse 27, and this is the words of the psalmist, and all he was doing in these verses of scripture was to remind us that God stays the same. He does not change. And look at verse 24 of Psalm 102. He said, I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. He says, your years are throughout all generations. You see that his years are throughout all generations. And then in verse 25, he says, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And verse 26 says, they will perish, but you will endure. You can see that God will outlast everything that is, that will ever be. And he says, yes, they will all grow old like garment, like a cloak. He says, you will change them, and they will be changed. So things will change around us. But look at verse 27, and that's where the confidence lies. He says, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. So when I come to God with that confidence and knowledge that actually I'm serving a God who does not change, it should stir up something in my heart. It should stir up faith to believe that no matter what happens around me, because like I said, these are the problems that people do have when changes happen. When things, thank God for the family who is moving to a different place, in their hearts, they will be wondering, so what's going to happen with this? What will happen with this? But the reality is that if they have that confidence that they are serving a God who does not change, the same God who has been faithful to them in Liverpool is the same God who will be faithful to them in Somerset. The same God who had shown them favor in their family here is not restricted by geographical location. You can be in Africa, you can be in Asia, wherever you are, that same God can still be faithful to you. And that's why it's a very important subject for us. God does not change, though things around us may change. But when you look at scripture, there are a few scriptures I want us to look at as well that will help us understand this concept of God and change, and also the Christian and change. When you look into the scriptures, you see that the scripture is also just as emphatic about the fact that Christians do change dramatically as it's about the fact that God never changes. So God never changes. But then the scripture tells us that as Christians, we undergo changes in our spiritual lives and in our relationship with God. And the first change that I saw in scripture is what you might call the spiritual change that happens in our lives. And this you find in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. That's the first type of change that we go through, or that you went through before you became a Christian. Look at verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away." It says, "Behold, all things have become new." But look at verse 18. It says, "But we all," and I love this verse of faith in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, and I'll make that connection. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 now and verse 18, it says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord," 2 Corinthians 3:18, "are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the first scripture we read in 2 Corinthians tells us there that when we come to Jesus, there's a change, there's a spiritual transformation that takes place, and that's how we got saved, we became Christians. But then this is the second type of change that happens in our lives. We are changed from glory to glory. The more we come to God, the more we worship, the more we come to His presence, there's a change taking place in our lives from glory to glory. That tells you that a Christian actually ought to get better in his relationship with God. The more I serve Him, the more I come to Him, the stronger I get, the more faith I have, the more I tend to believe and trust Him that He is a God who will show Himself true on my behalf. So beholding God daily in His Word changes us from the inside out, and we go from glory to glory. And that is a positive change. And there's another change you see, and this one you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, and which is what I call the ultimate change that will happen to us when we see Christ in glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 51, what it says. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So you can see how God shows us what is happening. That we gave our lives to Christ, that is the first spiritual change. We became born again. But it doesn't stop there. The second change, the more we come to Him, we are changed from glory to glory. Something is happening at the same time. But then, at the end of time, it tells us that we shall not all sleep, that is, die, but then it says we shall all be changed. And that is a wonderful revelation that God is showing us there. No wonder why in the book of 1 John chapter 3, and verse 2, and I think what John actually does is he tries to give us in 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 a proper understanding of what it means. And look at 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And he's talking about the last time when we come to see Him. And that is the final change, spiritual change that takes place in our life. So we thank God that God stays the same. But we also thank Him that there are levels of change, spiritually speaking, that as Christians, that we do go through. And we give Him praise for that. But before we leave this morning, and I think by way of reflection, it's always good to ask the question. So if God does not change, and I've come to understand that in my brain or in my mind, how does that then affect my relationship with Him? I always ask that question. For instance, you remember when we looked at serving a holy God, and we said if God is holy, it means something for us. And we looked at a faithful God. If God is faithful, it means something for us. So what does God's unchanging nature mean for me as a person? And I think the best place to start is this. And the first thing is that because God is unchanging, or He does not change, His promises are unchangeable. So that's the first meaning, what it means for me, the unchanging nature of God. That because God does not change, His promises to me, His promises to you will never change. Do you know that when you come to Scripture, there are at least about 800 promises in the Bible? And so the fact that God does not change means that none of these promises will ever fail. And that's why when I pick up my Bible and I start reading and I'm seeing the promises of God in Scripture, it fills me with confidence that if God does not change, then whatever He says will come to pass. A good example is this. Let's say you have a friend and your friend tells you something that this is what I'm going to do for you. Now, sometimes they don't do what they said because they can change. And because they can change, their promises can change. But because God does not change, whatever he says in scripture will come to pass. And this is why when you go into the Bible, look at the prophecies that's been given. Every single promise in the Bible, what God said will come to pass, they all did come to pass. Remember that popular verse of scripture in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. What does he say to us? Numbers 23 and verse 19. And I love this. He says, God is not a man, he's different, that he should lie, nor the son of man, that he should repent. He says, has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So you can see what the scripture is telling us, that God is not man. We change, we don't keep our promises. People tell you they will do this for you, and they end up not doing it. But then he says there that God is not a man. Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Has he given you a promise or given me a promise? He definitely will bring that promise to pass. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, there's another wonderful scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. This is one of those scriptures that when I read them, it fills me with confidence. And listen to what the scripture says. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that is a promise right there for you. Have you ever felt at some point in your life that it's like God has forsaken me as a person? Have you ever come to a point, maybe you're going through some difficulties and you're wondering, does God see what I go through? What he showed me, either in scripture or by vision or whatever, is he ever going to come to pass? But this is a reminder. God is saying to you this morning and saying to me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's like a father looking at his child and saying to him, you know what? I know you're going through trouble. I know you're going through stressful times, but you know there's a promise there for you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now, that is a promise. If that promise doesn't fill you with confidence, then nothing else will. Because this is not man speaking. Remember, he has already told us that God is not man. So if God is not man and he is saying to me, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, then it should affect how I relate to that God. It should affect me when I go through troubles and trials. It should fill me with confidence to say, you know what? It doesn't matter where I am. There's a God who is always there with me and for me. And this is one of those scriptures, when I found this scripture many years ago, anywhere that God leads me or anywhere I'm going, I go with confidence because I know that he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And that is a great promise. So God's unchanging nature means that the promises we have in scripture will come to pass and he will not change those promises. The second meaning for me, because God is unchanging or does not change, is that because God does not change, his purposes also does not change. So we are not saying that the promise of God does not change because God does not change, but we're also saying that the purpose of God will never change. If I were to ask you this morning, which one do you think is more likely to stand the test of time? Man's plans or God's plans? Obviously, you know the answer. So many of us will say, well, I believe that God's plans will definitely come to pass. But then when we are confronted with troubles and trials, we begin to question God's plans. When we don't understand what is happening, what is going around or happening to us. I mean, years ago, I remember there was a time in my life as well. It got to a point I was asking, I said, what exactly is God doing? This doesn't make sense to me anymore. I don't understand it. God, please tell me what exactly that you're doing. But then God reminded me over and over again that man's plans may fail. The best of plans will fail, but my plans for you will come to pass. And sometimes we may go through some of these detours and things happening around us, but eventually God brings us to the place that he wants us to be. In the book of Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, this is a wonderful verse of scripture in Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21. And he says this, he says, there are many plans in a man's heart, but nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, and that is the Lord's plans and what the Lord says, that will stand. And what he's saying to me is that it is God's purposes, God's plans for you, God's plans for me that will come to pass. So his promises will not fail, but it's not more than just giving promises. But God is also saying, my plans also will come to pass. If you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 46, actually what you find in Isaiah 46 is one of the most, I would call it famous passages in the Bible about the changeless purposes or plans of God. If you go to Isaiah chapter 46, and this is from verses 9, and I'm just going to read that to you. In Isaiah chapter 46, look at from verses 9 to verse 11. And this is what God is saying. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. You can see he constantly reminds us that he is God. And it's like he knows that sometimes we think he's not, or he's not in control. He says, for there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. And look at the next verse. It says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. You see that? What I plan to do, that's what will happen. And I will do all my pleasure. And look at the next verse. It says, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. He says, indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. So you can say, God is saying here, not only have I given a promise, but my plan will also come to pass. He says, I have purposed it. I will also do it. That's what I'm saying. It's not just the promise, but his purpose also will stand. So God is saying, I'm going to use things to bring about my promise. And this is one of those scriptures I always speak over my life. I remember when I was coming to Liverpool, I prayed this scripture into my life. I said, God, I'm going to a place I've never been before. I don't have a friend. I don't know anyone. But Lord, you will call people. You will speak to people. You will touch people's heart. You will prepare the place for me even before I get to the place. And sometimes we seem to forget that God actually does these things. Because I'm not saying something that is strange. I'm simply saying something that is already in scripture. God, go ahead of me. You have a plan. You have a purpose. And that purpose, he says, I will bring it to pass. Whatever I have purposed, I will also do that. We live in a time where writing plans and mission statements are very popular. But let me say this to us this morning, and I believe this strongly in my heart, that you can write out all your plans and everything you want to do, and they may eventually not turn out the way that you think it should. But God's plans for us will always come out the way it's meant to be. And this is a confidence I have. Even if it looks that my plans are changing, I look up to God and say, well, God, you are sovereign. You're a God who knows more than I do. You're a God who has given me promises. And everything you said about me will come to pass. Because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. We looked at, I think, a few Sundays ago, the eternal nature of God. That God does not exist in time. And because of that, he knows, even before I was born, he knew everything about me. He sees it all. And I think it's a wonderful promise or a wonderful verse of scripture that should fill us with confidence when we come to God. So what else do we know about this God with his unchanging nature? Now, because God does not change, think about his provisions. His provisions for you also will not change. So you can see we are not just talking about God giving us promises in scripture. We are not just saying that his plans and purposes will come to pass because he does not change. But we're also saying that his provisions for you as well will not change. And you might ask me why. God's provisions actually flow from his unchanging promises. So because he has made a promise and the promise will not change, then the provisions to fulfill those promises also comes from that God who does not change. You remember in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 17, and I love this verse of scripture. And these are beautiful scriptures that actually strengthen our heart in our relationship with God. In James 1 verse 17, he says this to us. He says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So you can see that he says every good gift, every perfect gift comes from this God, whom there is no variableness or variation or shadow of turning. All he's saying to you is that God's provisions flow out of his unchanging nature. Because he does not change, he will continue to provide for you. The question I want to ask you this morning is, who was the God who had the prayers of Daniel when he was in the lion's den? Or the prayers of Shadrach? Or the prayers of Meshach? Who was the same God who brought Silas and Paul out of the jail in Philippi? Who is that God who parted the Red Sea? It is the unchanging God. And so if it's the same God who did it for them, then it tells me that God's, his provision for me will still be the same. That he's not about to change his mind, all because I live in 2018. If it's the same God who had their prayers, if it's the same God whom they trusted and he delivered them, if it's the same God whom they believed in and he saved them, then this God will also be true and be good to me. And now what this does is it gives you confidence when you come to the place of prayer. You're not looking at God and wondering, well, will his provisions be sufficient for me? Or you're saying, well, God, it is the same God. You did it in the past, and that's why in the song we sang, if you remember, it says, I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe that you will do it again. Now, why would I sing that? I'm saying that because I know that the provisions of God does not change, because God does not change. If it's a God that moves the mountains, then God will do it again. If it's a God that sustained those who believed in him all through the ages, then why do you think he's about to abandon me as I call upon him? His provisions for you does not change. You should call upon him with confidence, knowing that though it might take time, though sometimes we don't understand how he's working things out, but the truth is that because he does not change, his provisions for you will never change. And there's one more I'm going to give us as we just tie this together now. Now, because God does not change, this is what else, the next thing he also means for me, is that this God is always accessible to me. Because he does not change, God is always accessible to me and also to you. You might ask me what relevance this point is to you as a person, but I'll tell you, I remember in our family growing up as a child then, and sometimes we want something from our dad, and we go to his door, you know, open the door and look, and maybe he's not really in a good mood. And because he's not in a good mood, we don't ask him for anything, so we walk away. And then sometimes what we do is that we tell our youngest brother, you know, the smallest one in the house, and say, can you go and ask? Because we feel that if the youngest one goes to ask, that my father will be more disposed to give because he's the youngest. So we started looking for ways to manipulate and get what we want. But then when you think about God, God is a God who does not change. And what that means to me is that there's never a time that God is in a good mood, or you say he's in a bad mood, so I can't approach him. There's never a time when I'll have to come to him and say, you know what, I have to earn some points before this God will come to me or before this God will listen to me. And so he tells me that he is always accessible because he does not change. His mood does not fluctuate. He doesn't wake up one morning and then gets upset and say, you know what, today, that's it. I've given you enough blessings. That is not the kind of God that we serve. He is always accessible to us. He's always ready to hear from us. He's always ready to meet your need and also to meet my needs. And that's why I said this is very, very important for us. If you don't know this in your heart and it's not anchored and rooted in your heart as a believer, you will find it difficult to approach God. And even when you do approach him, you're not quite sure if that God will show himself faithful on your behalf. And as I close this morning, and I think this is also very important for me to mention this, we've talked about God's nature not changing. His promises, his provision, he's always accessible to us. But there's something, and I remember when I was preparing this message, and God put this on my heart strongly, that in the same way his nature, promises, provisions, and all that does not change, the prophecies of scripture about the end will also come to pass. And what that means for us is this. When you go to the scriptures, you will see there are prophecies in scripture, not just for the believer, but also for the unbeliever. And there was one that stuck with me, and this is the scripture in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4, where the Bible says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins," he says, "shall die." You know, sometimes Christians, people read this verse of scripture and they're thinking, well, this can't be true. The soul that sins, that soul will die. And they carry on sinning. But let's not forget that because God does not change, whatever prophecy he's given in scripture will also come to pass. So you're not saying that only his promises, his provisions, and all the things, the good ones, do come to pass. Also, the warnings of scripture also will come to pass. Look at verse 20 of Ezekiel chapter 18. And you see God again. This is like a prophecy, but we know that these prophecies will be fulfilled, or was fulfilled even in their own days. He says again in verse 20 of Ezekiel 18. He says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. And that tells me that if God is to be true to his promises, then we need to fear. When I mean fear, I'm not saying we are afraid of God, but we need to come to him in awe and reverence. We need to know that we cannot, or even as Christians, or maybe those who have not come to know him, carry on living in sin and in wickedness and expect things to go well with us at the end of time. That is not possible, because this promise, or this scripture, prophecy, is tied to the unchanging nature of God. Every single prophecy we have in scripture has come to pass. And in the same way, if God says there shall be no peace for the wicked, it will come to pass. If God says that those who abandon him, that this is their end, it will also come to pass. But you know what? Sometimes we seem to forget that, well, God is a good God. It's only the promises, the provisions, and everything. But we seem to forget that the scripture also says to those who show themselves faithful, he says, "I will be faithful to them. And to those who show themselves forward towards me," he says, "that will also be the case." So God doesn't change his mind. It depends on how we respond to him. If I come to him and recognize and acknowledge him as my father, then he acknowledges me as his son, as a son. But if I come to him in rebellion, in a spiteful manner, and say, "Oh, well, this God is hard. He's not a good God. He doesn't even exist," then what kind of relationship do I want to have with that God? And that's why it's important for us in our relationship with him to remember, we're not just talking about his provisions. We're not just talking about the plans. We're not just talking about his promises. But we're also saying that even the prophecies of scripture will also come to pass. So if I'm living on the wrong side of the prophecies, then I need to ask myself a question. What do I need to do? I need to come back on the good side of the promises of God. It's just like the children of Israel. God warned them over and over again that these blessings will follow you and overtake you in the land of the living if you diligently hearken to my voice. If you do this, if you do this. But on the flip side, on the other side of the coin, he says, and these curses will follow you if, and you can see the conditions, and God tells them. It's just like when you have a contract. Most of us, we have contracts, mobile phone contract and different broadband and all that. And we look at the small print. And he tells you, this is the terms of your contract. This is what, because we're in a covenant relationship with God. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And everyone in this room believe that you can't carry on violating the contract, the terms of the contract, and still expect it to be good for you. It never happens. But then you know what? People come to God and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. Violate all the terms of the contract, despise God, and still you will get the services that you want. But scripture is clear. When we come to him because we know that he is a holy God. We know that he is a faithful God. But much more than that, we also know that he is a God who does not change. Shall we bow our hearts this morning as we just thank him for the fact that he never changes? He fills us with confidence, but at the same time, He fills us with awe as we come before Him. He never changes. I don't know if you've ever questioned the unchanging nature of God and what it means for you as a person. And I believe that this is God saying to us that I will be true to what I've said. I will be true to my promises. I will be true to my plans for your life. I will be true to the purposes I've got. I'm always accessible to you. You can come to me anytime. But don't forget that the prophecies will also come to pass. Father, we just thank you this morning. And we pray, Lord, that for those maybe one or two, or I don't know, or family friends we may have who may be asking questions about your unchanging nature, Lord, we pray this morning that you just place your hand upon each one. Calm our fears. Help us to see that even in the midst of the turmoil, the troubles, whatever we go through, that your promises will still stand true. And we also pray, Lord, for those maybe who don't know you as Lord and Savior, that those prophecies also do come to pass, that says there shall be no peace for the wicked. Lord, we pray that you will help them to draw close to you and to know that you are a God who will do all that you have said you will do. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.